It's time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On this week's show, we will have Des Moines, Iowa, sports columnist Randy Peterson at 9:15, followed by the NCAA Director of Law, Policy, and Governance, Susan Peel, at 9:30. We're going to discuss the transfer portal. And then at 9:45, we're going to have Oakland University men's basketball coach Greg Campy, and that's going to be also on the transfer portal. So until that time, we have an open line until about 9:15 this morning, so 659-3338, 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. Give us a call, and we'll talk about various things today. A lot of interesting news and notes going on in the world of sports, as this week was a very, very interesting week in lots of ways. Let's start with the NFL draft, first of all. As former Purdue football standout Rondale Moore was selected by the Arizona Cardinals with the 49th overall pick in the NFL draft second round on Friday night. Moore becomes the first Purdue football alumnus chosen in the second round since Kawan Short was chosen 44th in 2013. The New Albany, Indiana native was the first freshman consensus All-American in Purdue history. He set several program bests in Lafayette, including most all-purpose yards in the season, 2,215, and all-purpose yards in a game, 313. Moore played in three games during the 2020 season after overcoming a hamstring injury, and that's where he's going to be heading off to the Arizona Cardinals when the second pick the 49th pick overall in the second round last night. The draft concludes today on ESPN. For you hockey fans, there's officially now a new team in the NHL starting next year as the Seattle Kraken. Remember what a Kraken was? That huge octopus-type thing that just terrorized everybody in the water. Well, the Kraken are free to make trades and sign players after making their final expansion payment to the NHL. Seattle owners paid $650 million, becoming the 32nd franchise. The Kraken begin play next season up in Seattle. So that'll be interesting for another new NHL franchise coming about for next year. It'll be interesting if they have the same kind of success that the Las Vegas team had, because they won a Stanley Cup in their first year, and they got there and did very well. NCAA President Mark Emmert has received a contract extension through 2025. The association's Board of Governors announced on Tuesday. Emmert, who has served as the NCAA president since 2010 of November, had been under contract through October of 2023 with an option through 2024. The NCAA announced the extension within a news release that included other action items from the board, including a commitment to modernize rules around name, image, and likeness, of course being known as NIL. Emmert's extension received unanimous approval from the board in March. Georgetown President Jack DeGoa, the chair of the NCAA's Board of Governors, gave Emmert a vote of confidence amid mounting criticism about inequities during the men's and women's Division I basketball tournaments. Several commissioners and athletic directors also voiced concern about Emmert's leadership in media reports in late March and early April. But Mark Emmert will still be around for the NCAA for a while yet, as he is going to be, as he got a contract extension through 2025. In a probably as big a story as the draft itself was the fact that Aaron Rodgers apparently wants out of Green Bay. But the Packers say they're committed to Aaron Rodgers and they're not trading him, according to their GM. They still believe Aaron Rodgers will play for him this year and perhaps beyond. They have no plans to trade him. That was General Manager Brian Gutekunst's message on late Thursday night after the first round of the NFL draft, which came after sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter that earlier in the day, that Rodgers had become so disgruntled with the team that he had told some members of the organization he does not want to return to the Packers. That all goes back to the Jordan Love draft of about 2 years ago. Rodgers is 37. He's under contract through the 2023 season, but has no more guaranteed money left on his deal. Gutekunst said in the lines of communication with Rodgers and his representative have been open throughout the offseason, and the two sides spoke again on Thursday. Gutekunst is a fourth-year general manager. Denied the Packers have ever told Rodgers they would trade him or reiterated they have no plans to do that. Gutekunst said he did not speak with San Francisco 49ers general manager John Lynch on Thursday. about a deal for Rodgers, Lynch told reporters on Thursday that the 49ers, quote, inquired, unquote, about Rodgers, but did not say what took place. Now that it was a quick end to the conversation, it wasn't happening. Another interesting point of all this is that Denver seems to be also a good possible off-ramp spot for Rodgers, as I know they have been kind of interested in seeing what goes on out there. Back to the draft for a second. Tampa Bay Buccaneers might have found their heir to Tom Brady, selecting Florida quarterback Kyle Trask, who was one of the top quarterbacks all season, in the second round of the NFL draft on Friday night with the 64th overall pick. Trask is the sixth quarterback drafted in this year's draft and was first taken after Thursday's first round. Will have to venture only 136 miles down I-75 from Gainesville to play for the defending champion Buccaneers. Trask completed 552 of 813 passes for 386 yards and 69 touchdowns in 28 games with the Gators. He passed for 4,283 yards and had 9 consecutive games with at least 3 touchdown passes last season. Also set a single game SEC record with 5 400 yard passing games. Quite the feat considering Trask was a high school backup who did not start for the Gators until Felipe Franks' season-ending ankle injury in 2019. So it'll be interesting to see if Kyle Trask can hang on and stick with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as he is now got drafted last night in the second round. Kansas, after all their tumultuous hirings and firings and everything, has hired Buffalo's Lance Leipold as their head football coach. The school announced Friday the Jayhawks and Leipold agreed to a 6-year contract, according to the school. Kansas's search narrowed to Leipold, Army's Jeff Munkin, Louisiana Tech's Skip Holtz, and Texas A&M defensive coordinator Mike Elko earlier this week, and the final choice came down to Leipold and Munkin. Leipold, who is 56, went 109-6 with 6 Division III national championships and 8 seasons at Wisconsin Whitewater, where he played quarterback from 1983 to 1986. A 6-time AFCA Division III national coach, Hugh Leipold returns to a Power 5 program for the first time since the 3-year stint as a Nebraska assistant from 2001 to 2003. The Wisconsin native will replace Les Miles, who was dismissed last month after an LSU investigation revealed allegations of inappropriate behavior towards female students during his tenure as Tigers coach. Kansas also dismissed athletic director Jeff Long, who had hired Miles, and replaced it with Northwestern deputy athletic director Travis Goff. So, and Leipold takes over a Jayhawks program that hasn't had a winning season since 2008. Think about that for a minute. He'll be the team's 6th head coach during that span. So Lance Leipold leaves Buffalo to go to the Kansas Jayhawks. Something we will probably talk about at a future date also, but we're going to at least mention it, that it took place this week. While continuing to reiterate their support for the current 4-team format, the College Football Playoff Management Committee this week was presented with possibilities for future expansion, including options ranging from 6 to 16 teams, the CFP announced on Friday after 2 days of virtual meetings. A working group within the CFP Management Committee, which comprises the 10 FBS commissioners, plus Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick, discussed some 63 possibilities for change according to news release from the CFP. Those included models of 6, 8, 10, 12, and 16 teams, each with a variety of different scenarios. CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock, who we've had on this show, told ESPN that nothing is imminent as of right now. The CFP has set up a working group of 4 management committee members. That's Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boolsby, Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, and Notre Dame's Swarbrick. They're expected to make a report to the entire management committee about the future format at the CFP's next meeting, which could be this summer. If there's a model the entire group supports, the committee will present it to the FCS Board of Managers, who have the ultimate authority over the playoff format. So that is something that's going to be brought out there. To me, I think you either go to 8 or you could, I don't know if I want 16 yet or not, but you have to go even numbers to keep it down in a good number. So right now we'll see what that happens. And of course, the beginning of the week, we should have known this is going to be an interesting week, because this week started off with Baylor women's basketball coach Kim Mulkey leaving there after several years to go be the new women's basketball coach at LSU. She appeared at the Premierovich Assembly Center Combination Pep Rally News Conference. She addressed a crowd which included the Tigers team, school administrators, and coaches, along with Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards and LSU fans. She told them, her big thing is to try and win a national title. So that's what she came here to do. She received an 8-year contract Think about that for a minute. 8-year contract for Kim Mulkey leaving Baylor as the women's coach and going to LSU. This one also made quite a bit of the rounds this week as the former icon of the 70s and 80s, Dr. J, Julius Erving, announced he was leaving, he decided to announce an all-time NBA team, leaving off both Michael Jordan and LeBron James off of it. Irving's the Hall of Famer made his waves on social media on Wednesday, where he assembled his all-time team roster as a guest on Posted Up podcast with Chris Haynes. Irving's all-time starting five included the obvious names of Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, and Bill Russell, though some would argue that Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson's absence. His second team features Jordan and Magic along with Larry Bird, Karl Malone, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Irving then took it upon himself to explain James's absence in the all-time roster, as if he knew the backlash was already coming. This is from the doctor. He was a guy who led the charge in terms of super teams being put together, noting how James had a role in recruiting talent to Miami, Cleveland, and Los Angeles, all of which ended in championships with James leading the way. He can pick his own team, and I'm not going to pick his team. In response to a hypothetical argument from James that, quote, super teams have always been existed, Irving hit back and said it wasn't the players who were pulling the strings back there before James got to the league. They were drafted and picked by management. Players weren't picking their own teams. They didn't have the clout. Like when Kareem got traded for four players from Milwaukee to Los Angeles, that was management's deal. That wasn't his deal. The internet came down hard on the 70-year-old Irving all-time list and the logic behind it, arguing that James has dragged, quote, garbage teams, unquote, to the NBA Finals, including in 2017, when the Warriors crushed James's underdog Cavs in a 4-1 series. So that's just James was vying for back-to-back championships with the Lakers, is getting ready to come back from his ankle sprain. But this is going to be an interesting, I have to be a little sidelined here. But also, something else you need to remember. When Dr. J played in the NBA, there weren't near as many teams or franchises, and there were very few, quote-unquote, bad teams in the league. It was a very competitive league, and the benches were a lot deeper than what they are right now. We're going to take a break here and try and get our first guest. That's Randy Peterson of the Des Moines Register on the phone. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight-up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich, no. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Okay, we're about ready to get going here with our lineup of guests for this week. And our first guest is Randy Peterson, who is the Des Moines Register sports columnist. Randy, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you? It's a beautiful morning in Des Moines. I don't know what it is where you are. But,
it's starting to get nice here. It was cold overnight. The sun's out now, and it's going to be fairly good, I think. Going to get windy, though, this afternoon, but we're going to be in the 70s before the day is out. So
we need a football game.
Yeah, we
do. We need a football game. We've been waiting. It seems like so long, but yeah. So
how you been?
I've been good. I've covering Iowa State football. It was it was pretty good. It was very good. I felt sorry for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
The limited fans that they had in Ames, and we all understand that, and the. No fans that they had, I believe that was it, the no fans they had at the Fiesta Bowl and when Iowa State played in its first New Year's Six game, bowl game, and beat Oregon. So, yeah, I felt sorry for the fans, but hopefully things open up here and it'll get 65,000 strong at Iowa State games this fall.
Well, that's one of the reasons we wanted to call you and talk to you on the show here today is that can Iowa State become one of the first in a long time of a different group of teams to make the college football playoffs this year?
Well, they're certainly going to make a run at it. I'll say that. And they've got the players to do it. They've got the depth chart back essentially. They've got the depth chart back from a 9-3 team. That lost against Oklahoma State, lost against Oklahoma, and lost in the season opener against Louisiana in a game that I guess you had to delve inside of it to see what happened. But they've got everybody back. All-American running back Breece Hall, All-American tight end Charlie Kohler, All-American linebacker Mike Rose, and oh, by the way, 3-year starting quarterback Brock Purdy. Who was Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. So, I mean, it's just a loaded team. If Iowa State can come out of the gate with a 3-0 record in the non-conference, that would be victories against Northern Iowa, which an FCS team right here in the state of Iowa that's been tough for Iowa State.
Uh-huh.
And then Iowa State hosts Iowa. And again, Campbell's in 4 years. Campbell has never beaten Iowa. And then the final non-conference game is
in Vegas
at UNLV.
Yeah.
So, if Iowa State can come out 3-0 in those games, they'll make an impression and we'll see what happens.
Are they good enough if the injury bug hits them?
Yeah, they're good. They lost an offensive lineman, Trevor Downing, who at that time was the best offensive lineman in the first game in that Louisiana game to a leg injury for the rest of the season. But he's going strong. I know his parents very well, and I talk to them a lot. And he's recovered. He's been playing. He's been practicing 100% during spring practice, although Iowa State's spring practice has been modified. They're not doing any hitting, any contact, or very little. They don't need to. They've got veterans everywhere. So it's just a matter of fundamentals and knocking off some rust. But they're 100%. We talked to Matt Campbell yesterday, and they're 100% going into what today is probably their last spring practice, and then before they come back for the summer.
Can Iowa State keep Matt Campbell there, or is he going to be leaving shortly?
He said that's a great question. he's had chances to leave. There's been chatter about him in the NFL. Florida State offered, from what I understand. Arkansas offered a while back, from what I understand. Tennessee did the same thing, and those jobs aren't his. I've written, and I've not gotten any blowback from him that his next college job is going to be in Ohio State, is going to be Notre Dame, is going to be a Penn State, one of those three. Otherwise, I think he's got pretty much everything he wants in Ames. They're building their $90 million facility is going to be christened here sometime this summer. They've given him everything he wants, and he's not a huge money guy. He got a contract extension, and he wanted the bulk of it to go to his assistant. So they instead of giving him a lot of extra money, they put $1 million into the pool for the assistant coaches. So that's the kind of guy Matt Campbell is. As far as the pros, I don't know. I don't envision Matt Campbell being
I don't either. I just don't.
He's a college guy at heart. It's back when we used to watch an occasional practice. You could tell the way he jokes around with the guys. He'll trash talk with anybody, but it's a different. But he treats everybody a little bit different because he knows their buttons.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to treat people, I don't know. Maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part because he's been so good for Iowa State fans,
right,
and he's been so good to the media. But they're going to continue as long as they keep winning. There's going to be continued interest in him. I remember back when I was covering Iowa a long time ago, there was interest in Kirk Ferentz every day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh! So it's kind of the same thing. So, but I think Iowa State can keep him until one of those three jobs open.
Speaking of Ferentz,
then it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. Speaking of Ferentz, how much longer do you think he's going to stay at Iowa?
Oh my! I initially was going to say he'll stay as long as it takes for his son, Brian Ferentz, to prove that he can take over the head coaching job. But I don't know whether that actually happens or not. I think Kirk stays he can stay as long as he wants to, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because the athletic director, Gary Barta, is on, they're on the same page there. And
yeah.
Iowa named a new president yesterday, but I don't think the new president's going to come in and make him rock any boat there, because Kirk Ferentz is and has been a legend in this state, taking over for Hayden Fry. And I think Kirk could go out on his own terms. I'm not going to put a time limit on it. I don't have any idea, but they're still pretty good, and he's still got a lot of firepower left in him.
That's right. One of the things I really wanted to ask is, what happened with Iowa State basketball? They were going good under Steve Fromm for a while, and then it's like the bottom fell out.
It goes back a couple of years when Iowa State recruited Taylor Horton Tucker out of Chicago. He was a one and done, which, we figured he'd be two and done, but he ended up being a one and done, and they did not adequately replace him. Iowa State recruited an unheard of back then named Tyrese Halliburton, who just happened to be a lottery pick.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa Froman, and good job for Froman and his staff. They were on him. They saw him young and they got him, but they did not put good players around him. As good as you are, as good as he was, he did not play on very good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Prohm couldn't recruit around him. And that's been the problem. Iowa State, Prohm and his staff would swing for the fences on recruits. And they'd get mentioned as one of the final five. And then all of a sudden, boom, they've gone somewhere else. Well, Iowa State struck out too many times by swinging for the fences on those guys instead of actually going after a three-star guy or whatever and developing him. So it was just so many recruiting misses, so many transfers out of the program. In Frome's, whatever it was, 6 or 7 years, only one player now started his high school career or started his career at Iowa State out of high school and finished after and stayed the whole time through his eligibility, Solomon Young. Everybody else, all the other high school recruits, started and then transferred out or somehow left the program for various reasons. So it's just been so much of a turnover.
Mm-hmm. So what's your thoughts on T.J. Olsenberger?
Well, it's interesting. I guess what he's doing, he's replacing a lot of the roster with transfer portal guys, and that's not a surprise to anybody because TJ started his assistant coaching career. He worked for Fred Hoiberg. He was on Fred Hoiberg's first staff,
mm-hmm.
and Fred Hoiberg essentially was the father of the transfer portal. He was the first major coach to go hit the portal, and they did that. They did it very successfully. Now everybody's doing it, but that's what TJ's doing to build his roster back up again. His number one target was a high school kid, Tyrese Hunter, out of Wisconsin, and he got him. His number two target was a kid right out of Ames High School, right, a kid from just a few miles down, a few blocks away from the university, Taman Lipsy. He got him. He's a 2022 recruit. He got him. So then on the transfer portal, they got the guys that they wanted. They didn't swing for the fences. They've got the three-star, maybe some of the four-star guys and they've got them. And they're going to recruit the upper Midwest, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska. They're going to recruit the Dickens out of that because that's what they know. They're not going to go down to the Southeast and live down there and try to recruit players out of there. They're not. They're going to stay right where they're comfortable. And so far, it looks like, on paper, it looks like they're successful.
Okay. Last thing I want to ask you is, where do you assess where Iowa basketball is for, how they came out this year and then also looking ahead to the future?
For University of Iowa?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, with Jordan Bohannon coming back.
Yeah, that helps.
Announced that for a sixth year. I was going to say it's 50-50 on Iowa fans. Like, that's a good thing or that's a bad thing, but it's probably more Iowa fans are saying that's a good thing. Losing C.J. Frederick, who was going to be probably their leading scorer this year, that's a huge deal. Everybody says he's going to Kentucky. That's a huge deal. Losing Luca Garza his eligibility expired.
Right.
That's huge. So they've got a lot of holes to fill on that roster. And Iowa rarely plays defense anyway. So it's going to be not like Iowa basketball of last year. Let's just say that because they had the best player in the country in Luca Garza, and you've got Bohannon back, who's in his sixth year.
Right.
So I guess I don't see Iowa. I think Iowa's going to drop off a little bit, but certainly they're not going to fall off the table.
My biggest complaint about Iowa this past season is, as you said, they played no defense whatsoever.
They never have.
No, they haven't.
Under McCaffrey. They never have. Occasionally they'll play a good defensive game, but you just knew eventually that's going to come up and reach up and bite them in the NCAA tournament, which it has.
Yep, that's
so
true.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
So, Randy, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Just everybody be safe and, let's get this football season cranked up and get it coming. Iowa and Iowa State play on September 11th, and I've covered a lot of Iowa State games, and the enthusiasm for this game is already cranking up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the first time I assume both teams will be in the top 25. Iowa State certainly will be in the top 10. If both teams win their season opener, it will be the first time that Iowa and Iowa State have played when both teams have been ranked. So keep an eye on that one.
I will. Randy, as always, we appreciate your time. Best luck to everybody that's over there, and we'll probably talk to you sometime maybe during the season, all right?
Yeah, Yeah, call me anytime and have a great show. I appreciate it. Thanks
all right,
a lot.
Thanks, Randy. Greatly appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Randy Peterson, who is the sports columnist for the Des Moines Register. He's been our guest. We're going to take a quick break now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.